Welcome
back to
Black Sabbath.
Hit it, Grattan.
The fear and darkness all around you.
Okay, that's enough. We've heard enough. Yeah, you can cut it off now.
All right.
I think it just got a little louder.
It's getting louder. It's definitely getting louder. All right. Black Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen.
You get the idea. Black Sabbath wrote that song for Ozzy Osbourne, and he performed it.
And he sang it right back at him.
We watched Black Sabbath.
We forgot to record beforehand.
And y'all are just going to have to live with that.
Matt, do you have any experience with this movie?
I feel like I've heard of it.
Somewhere.
I'm thinking of the Black Sabbath like album covers. Like,
yeah,
something's familiar. No, but I feel like I've seen this movie, like the poster or something for it, like around, like just on IMDb or something.
All around town.
And then you said we were gonna watch it, and it just did. It seems sort of familiar. Somehow, like I knew about something that was like a compilation film.
Yeah.
Anthology, I mean, not compilation.
Yeah, I got what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know.
What
about you? What do you know about this?
No, I had absolutely zero experience with this. I just saw
it
on. Yeah, I was going through like horror lists, trying to find old horror movies that, you know, don't get talked about very much that had kind of clean, newer releases. So we would be able to like watch them as they were intended.
Nice.
And I've also, you know, I've been listening to Black Sabbath the past year or so. So
best year of your life.
Yeah.
They're good. They're okay. They're okay.
Yeah, they kind of peaked with Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fell off after that. What was after
They
that?
Really peaked after they fired Ozzy.
They got
a lot of memorable hits since then.
Once they got rid of Ozzy,
yeah,
things got a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know, is the anthology film, like, popular in
this
Italian
one?
Film? No, like, general, because I feel like...
Oh, that style?
Yeah, I've got, like, a few saved to various streaming service lists that are just like Italian movies that are anthology movies. There's one on the Criterion Channel called like Voices of the Damned or something.
I don't know.
And there's like a few others, but
I
know that this guy.
I'm hesitant to talk about it because I don't know for sure, but it definitely seems like it was more popular at the time in Italy than it was here.
Yeah. I think I looked at the director of this, and he directed like a few other.
Mario Bava.
Mario. Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
Mario
and Luigi Mario.
Luigi Mario. The Mario Brothers.
Released on August 17th, 1963, Black Sabbath is a low-budget Italian horror anthology film directed by Mario Bava. Screenplay credits were given to Mario Bava as well as Marcello Fondato. An English-language version of the film was made at the same time as the Italian version, as American International Pictures, known as AIP, was involved in the production. The two versions are very different, with the English version being heavily edited and censored. It's important to mention that the version we're about to review is the unedited Italian version, originally titled The Three Faces of Fear. Though we're reviewing this movie as Black Sabbath, that was really only the title of the AIP version. The Black Sabbath title was an effort to connect this film to Mario Bava's previous film, Black Sunday. While the English version was a moderate success, in Italy, The Three Faces of Fear was a financial failure. The legacy of this film is its influence on the heavy metal band Black Sabbath. The band is said to have changed their name from Earth to Black Sabbath after seeing that this movie was playing in a theater and selling more tickets than the band was. Quentin Tarantino has also cited Black Sabbath as a source of inspiration for Pulp Fiction. Some trivia. This is the only movie in which Boris Karloff plays a vampire. The telephone section was the first Italian thriller to ever be shot in color. Today, the movie has somewhat of a cult following for a number of previously mentioned reasons. In addition, Mario Bava is now considered an extremely influential Italian horror director. Today, Black Sabbath has 3.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, 92% on Google, 82% on Metacritic, and a 4.4 out of 5 on Shudder. Converted to our Completely True Stories rating system, Black Sabbath has an average score of 8.25.
Boring.
Rather generous, don't you think? What other anthology movies have you seen? What is it?
The
with...
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yes. I feel like there's some... Why does horror lend itself so well to the anthology movie?
I think more than a lot of genres, it's about getting to the point. Especially, like, particularly monster movies. The genesis of the story is to, you know, you usually don't start out with a horror story by saying, like, I want to tell the story of a family that's going through this, or a guy who's going through this. It's like, I want to tell a story about a body that comes back to life.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that lends itself to, like, just
a shorter
story
thing.
Where you have to fill in less of the blanks of, like, what else is happening between the monster stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think you're right.
I mean, it's different for, like, Westerns and comedies and dramas, you know.
You're getting the full 5 points.
Thank you.
For that answer.
What did you think?
It was, like, besides, like, judging each, like, little anthology or, you know, each little segment on its own, I feel like this with, like, a ton of anthology movies, kind of with Quiet Anne and like a little bit with Creepshow, even though I like Creepshow a lot. Where it's like okay, you know, there was a tale of terror, but why is it with these other
this
one especially, but also a little bit with Quiet Anne, where it's just like, you know, why are these put together? You know, which I mean, I think this is just sort of like a, we are going to do.
Yeah, with the Quiet Anne, I think Quiet Anne was all based off of, like, fables.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
from around the same time. So I think that, in addition to the horror angle, was the thread tying them together. This was obviously like three original new stories made to fit into a horror anthology. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they made a good decision putting the last one last.
Yeah.
I think that was the strongest.
Definitely.
It helps that it was the shortest, I think.
Yeah. It's also got the best image
In
the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the closest we've come so far to anything being actually scary.
Yeah, when they first show that dead lady, you know, it's like actually kind of startling.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They've got looks like plastic.
Yeah, she's a big rubber, you know, she is plastic the majority of the movie, which makes it a little uncanny whenever she gets up and starts walking around.
That's awesome. Part when they've got her floating around and stuff.
It's a freaky face. It almost makes me think that, like, whoever wrote or came up with it, like, saw it in a dream or something, because it seems like so particular.
Or it's based off of something else that already existed. I don't know. I mean, that's just, it's just really good design. Personally, I'm a sucker for shit like Boris Karloff bookending the whole thing.
Yeah, it's cool because it's also like, it's in addition to like these stories sort of, I'm not meaning to like complain about it because I really don't care, but these stories don't really have a whole lot to do with each other. And it's also just like Boris Karloff is... he's in the movie, to show you the movies.
Right.
Hello.
It's
I don't know. I love it. You know, like they kind of don't care.
They
sort of know what they're doing. It's like, tonight will be the scary movies.
Yeah.
Someone in the theater might be a vampire.
Yeah.
They suck blood.
I'm it's like, I'm a sucker for that shit.
Yeah.
And. I miss the audience being talked to.
Yeah.
We'll be watching The Bat as one of our last movies, but The Bat Whispers, which is like the one that The Bat is a remake of, it ends with like curtains closing mm-hmm. and then a guy steps in front of him and he was like, please don't tell anybody who the bat is or the bat might kill you. And I love
that's
that
cool.
shit.
That's awesome.
I miss that shit. It's like, okay, there's curtains now. The whole thing was a play. Like,
hello.
And you're talking directly to me. Mm. That like none of the movie, because that's like, I don't know. I like that better than like kind of like self-deprecating, like right. Deadpool cringe shit.
Irony meta.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Where it's just a guy being like, you have watched a movie.
Yeah. Like, you just watched a movie. It wasn't exactly normal, was it?
Yeah.
Some of
you may have been frightened, even.
Yeah. You might have been, you might be scared. So you might want to get out before mm-hmm. the movie gets scary.
And like, any gravitas that Boris Karloff would have brought to this is like immediately like just tossed out because of the budget.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of a cool setting that we just open on. He's like in front of like a projection.
Yeah, he's like cut out.
Yeah, it's just like really colorful too. Mm-hmm. It's like sort of weird, I guess, you know, you could call it eerie
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to.
I mean, it's just silly.
Yeah.
Really, and he's like bald, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's old and...
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny because he shows up as Boris Karloff in that one, and then we end on he's also Boris Karloff, but he's in the costume
from the short
that he was in that was in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And he's like also like shooting a scene from that part while he's doing this.
Yeah.
So
Which is one of my favorite things about the movie is that last bit.
That last part is really
where he's
cool.
On the horse.
But it also just makes it funnier that like they couldn't even keep a consistent like where is he?
Yeah, yeah. Is this the guy that he's just in one too.
Uh-huh.
So it almost I don't think they were, but you know, but it almost makes the other two feel like they were repurposed to go around.
Mm.
The one Boris Karloff, like you would think like in one of these it's like, oh, Boris Karloff shows up.
Yeah.
As a, you know, I don't know, put him somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, as like a little thread running through the whole thing. But I don't, I like that he's just in one. It's like, hello, it's, as you know, it's me again.
Uh-huh.
You know, just sort of acting like that's what's supposed to be happening.
I wish that his story, his short, would have been better. Because that was like by far the weakest in my opinion.
It's really, I have trouble even like sort of figuring out exactly what the conceit of that was supposed to be.
There are vampires.
Yeah, there are vampires. This guy shows up and there are like we never like there's characters there and there's sort of something going on, but there's not like a mm-hmm. a thing. There's not, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I need like such a, I guess for something that short you do kind of need like what's the plot? Like what why
yeah,
are you
yeah.
What's the reason you're showing this to me?
Mm-hmm.
It
was just like, okay, there are people, and at the end, they all get turned into vampires. Yeah. The end. Very scary.
And sort of seems like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or, like, what they're supposed to be, because it's like, okay, so he went out, and it's like, it seems like that whole bit up until, you know, the 5 days have passed
mm-hmm.
Is supposed to be, like, set up, and it's like, okay, now we're going to lock into whatever the dilemma is, and I thought it was going to be like, is Grandpa a vampire or not? Or is someone else a vampire?
Yeah, the whole time you're waiting, just because like stuff like this has been subverted and
yeah, I guess so.
Done differently so many times since then that like you're always just holding your breath for like, okay, and how am I supposed to be subverted? You know, because Grandpa's obviously a vampire.
Yeah, and everybody's...
So where's the part where you tell me that he isn't?
Yeah, or you make me doubt or something. You know, I don't even know if that's subversion. It's just like, give me conflict. Because it's like, you know, these people are obviously afraid that he's a vampire.
And then he just is.
Yeah, he just is. There's no, like, I'm not the vampire. And it's like, oh, you convinced us. It's like, I'm a vampire. And, okay, you can sleep in here, Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kills.
Yeah, they just fucking kills everybody.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no twist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fall in love with Stinka.
Yeah.
Mr.
Vladimir.
Vladimir, that's right.
Vladimir.
Stinka. He calls the name beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. It's a strange name, but a beautiful one.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I agree.
Uh-huh.
Stinka. What a lovely name. Grandma Stinka. That's what I want my kids saying. Yeah, his is really, it's like too long too.
It's
like,
way
for
too
how
long.
Simple it is.
It's got to be like 10 minutes longer than the other two.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and it that's does another it thing does where nothing it's like, extra with that runtime either. It just like meanders. Like there's just, the part where like, oh, Grandpa has escaped with the kid and the dad is giving chase. You know, and he goes after it. What's going to happen? He killed the kid and he came back with the kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Grandpa just killed the kid and got away with it.
Okay.
And now we're back to square one and they're still not doing anything about it. It's like, well, we better go to sleep.
Yeah. There's like a little like conflict where, you know, dad wants to stab the kid because he's going to turn into a vampire.
Right.
You know, and then his wife's like, no, don't. And he goes, okay.
All right.
And then the kid comes back as a vampire and she's like, I think that's really him.
Yeah. It just makes the whole thing frustrating.
Yeah. And then she stabs him.
And then just everybody dies.
Yeah. It kind of, it's just not a very solid structure or anything. It sort of seems like it's just sort of firing from the hip.
Yeah.
In terms of
somebody's
story.
Somebody's like, I'm going to make a story where everybody gets turned into a vampire and dies.
Yeah. It looks very nice.
It looks okay.
I like Karloff painted gray blue.
Yeah, he looks purple.
Yeah,
in a lot of shots. Yeah, he looks like Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm. Alfred Einstein,
the late great Alfred Einstein,
director of such hits as
The Birds,
Psycho,
and the original Scarface.
The original Scarface, Alfred Einstein. Yeah, and then none of the stories are, like, especially strong.
No.
The ending one is okay, but there's not, like...
That one relies so heavily on visuals, though.
Yeah, which are well done.
But it's also got... That one's the only one that has a real concept of, like, this lady... Even, you know, there might be something supernatural about the ring that it makes people want to steal it, but, you know, and maybe that's how it... That played into how the original, the Countess or whatever, died. But
so there's...
Yeah, there's like a ring on a dead person, and then people are inclined to take that ring, and when they do, they get cursed.
Right, and they get killed by the previous person, assumedly,
It's not just that idea. It's like that is revealed by the end that it is, because during the whole thing you think it's just like a klepto woman who did this on a whim.
Yeah, and then she will be haunted by the woman. It's
right.
Like, no, it's a thing with the ring.
And then that plays out and you see, the ring keeps getting taken. And it's like, oh, that's nice. Nice little quick story. Whereas the other two are like, you know, the first one...
They're like ideas.
Yeah.
And in some ways like half of an idea.
I was wondering, is that first story like... Was that an inspiration for Scream?
I wonder. I don't know. It's like, you know, I wanted to say that, but at the same time, I also feel like I might be, you know, a stupid asshole. It's like, no, it's like a completely different movie. It's even close, but it is like exactly. It's like I can see you in your house.
Right.
It's me. You know, and it's like I'm gonna kill you, and it's like that's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak too soon, but it is really close.
I mean, I'm sure there are other. More contemporary, like, you know, Halloween and forward horror movies where somebody gets a phone call.
But the phone thing like that is like,
yeah, it's
so
very
close.
Like just a woman in the house by herself and that's the setup.
Yeah. It's an okay beginning, but it sort of just, it loses its grip on what it's trying to do. By the end of it, it's like, okay, so it's setting all this stuff up.
And there's so little going on that like the little twist that it's trying to pull is, you can see it coming from a mile away. Like the real guy is going to end up at the house.
Because they show him.
Yeah, because they show him. And also, you know, just like, okay, well, you're giving us like, you've got this deranged ex-boyfriend who knows that you were cheating on him with this girl.
And he escaped,
from jail.
So and why, you turned him in.
So why wouldn't he show up? You know, like the girlfriend seems to be like, you know, I've tricked you. He's not going to do that. It was all a lie, but like, why wouldn't she know?
Right.
Either it, like, you know, especially like they just end up leaving the door unlocked, I think is how he gets in at the end.
Yeah, it's just not, and it doesn't really like follow a thing. It just sort of descends into that. It's like once the girlfriend gets into the house, it's like,
but
you know, it's like, okay, is she gonna kill her? And it's like, no, she just wanted to patch things up.
Yeah,
you know.
But that one, like, I feel like that one's good enough to actually be given real critiques.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, there is enough going on there where it's like, okay, now where's the rest to make this really like?
Because it's almost like a really because it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do stuff like they plant the knife part coming back. Like, there's enough for like a full story. You just need like, you know, you need to fill in the cracks.
Yeah, it's just so simple.
Yeah, it's too stripped back.
You know, I don't think that's just like a postmodern mindset thing where it's like it's not complicated enough for me. I really do think it's kind of just a little too on the genre contrived side. But it's okay. All this stuff, you know, like the stories aren't really too solid, you know, but like it all looks all right, you know, and it's edited and shot okay enough.
As far as like the original edit, I was a little disappointed in the restoration. Mm-hmm. Like the frames like jittering around all the time.
At a couple points,
it's like, man, y'all can't do anything about that.
You can do something about that.
I know. It just has me thinking, like, is the Kino Lorber restoration room in a different neighborhood than the Criterion? Like, you know, what are they dealing with where they don't have the resources to?
I've seen a couple Kino Lorber movies and they're pretty good.
Maybe it's that this one's like an older, I think this came out in like 2017 or something. Yeah.
This movie at the beginning sounds like it's on vinyl.
Yeah.
There's a lot of popping and crackling and then it sort of fades out of the mix.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, if that was originally supposed to be there or what. We'll never know. I very nearly bought the English version.
Oh, really?
Because this is one of those ones, like most of the ones on this list, that are, you know, it was released somewhere else, brought here, and, you know, completely butchered and redone. And so for a while it was like, we've got the original Italian version. Here you go. It's Black Sabbath. Everybody's heard of it. Nobody knows it. And so I think at first it was exciting to have the original Black Sabbath, but then people were like, well, where's the one that was called Black Sabbath? And so a couple years later, I think it was also Kino or another boutique distributor like that released the English version, and that's the one that's on Amazon.
Really?
The AIP cut. So I had to dig a little bit to find this one.
I wonder if that one's better.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I know that it's like, I think it's like 10 minutes shorter. The stories were rearranged. And I don't know if Boris Karloff dubbed his own voice or not, but I get the vibe that it's probably worse.
Because
there's like barely any violence or nudity in this, but you know, whatever there was like gone in the English version. That guy's head being chopped off.
Yeah.
Probably that really silly shot of the kid being a dead body.
I don't know what's so funny about that. He's
just
kind of laying there. He's a really deadpan little kid, you know, but like a lot of little, he's not really like grinning or laughing or anything, but like any little kid, he can't really sit still.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laying down and he's like,
he just looks funny trying to be dead.
Yeah.
Trying to pretend to be dead.
He is trying.
Yeah.
Good job, little Alfonso.
But it's funny, you can just see like his mouth and nose, and then they've got this
Little thing over his eyes for some reason. It's like, why would you do that to a dead body? He's blindfolded. Maybe it's vampire
it's the same
shit.
Penny,
yeah.
Like putting pennies over eyes and stuff. I think that's just what you're supposed to do.
He's there and he's like, I couldn't act dead in a movie.
No, I can't sit still.
No, yeah.
At all.
I'll start hitting myself in the head over and over again and saying, stupid, stupid, stupid. That's what happens when I try to act dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
That guy's probably 70 now.
Mm-hmm.
The kid in this movie, if he's not dead.
Yeah, which is likely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As many people are dead. The last part of this is great. I do want to bring that up a little bit. Boris Karloff at the very end pretending to ride that horse. Yes, you know, he's zooming on him, and it's like, oh, we're back to, we're back to the second segment. Okay.
Right.
You know, he's like, hello. It's pretty scary, huh?
Yeah.
You know, which also these aren't particularly scary. Like the ending one, like, has a scary image.
That's as scary as it gets.
Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, but like, besides that, it's like nothing is like at all scary because it telegraphs everything so obviously that there's like, which I feel like is like essential for being scary. But like the element of surprise is like so essential to horror that it makes it like, I mean, I don't think that's any like significant realization, but it is, it's like almost comical, you know, how much this movie telegraphs everything. It's like, you know, like, is grandpa a vampire? Yes.
Yeah.
Grandpa's a vampire.
Yeah.
Just tell you, it's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like so not scary, which makes it so awesome when it so that like sucks, but then it's like even better when Boris Karloff is like, ooh, it's okay. It wasn't real. Or was it? Ooh, that's, I bet you're really scared right now. Anyways, what does he say? Oh, he says like, you know, he says, I'll be your friend or something.
Oh, he's like, he was making a reference to when he showed up in the movie. And he's like, if I show up at your door, you should let me in and we'll be friends.
Yeah. And then there's like a silly ending. Yeah, where he's riding on the fake horse, and they pan out to, or they dolly away
back,
to show, and like they've got the guys doing the tree effect, which is a pretty cool little stylistic moment. I like that, the shots that they have him and the dad doing. But they have all the guys running around the trees around the camera to create the simulation of movement and all this stuff. And it's like a silly little ending, like that's what was happening on the movie. Bye. You know, and it's so funny that he's like, if I show up on your doorstep, and it's like, it seems, if we're talking about statistically, there's a low chance you're gonna show up at my doorstep. One out of three times you show up at people's doorstep, if we size up those statistics, I feel like you're gonna show up less and less. If there were 14 segments, I feel like you would have only been in two. So, anyways,
right.
I'll get into my totally true stories. Completely true stories. I don't know. It's not a great movie. But it's like stylistic enough and like mildly quirky enough to see where like, or like, it's, at least for the time, there's like some original ideas going in that aren't quite like realized, that I see like it's worth as like an influential thing. Looks all right. I don't know, it's like I'm not especially fond of this, but my feelings aren't, you know, really all that positive, but I don't know, 6 out of 10, it was okay.
I
liked it. You know, a little above middle.
Especially
for that last bit in Boris Karloff is most of where that comes from. But also, this is a very good Halloween movie, where it also has like sort of the general pretense of Halloween. It's like, this is scary. You know, it's like, it's not scary, but you know, but let's act like everything's scary right now. This is great. And which really, you know, maybe is just people regressing to when they were kids.
You know.
And so maybe it's horrible, but it's fun. What did you think?
Yeah, very similar. I think this is it's one of those movies that like really would be best enjoyed at like a double feature, like in a theater. In the 1960s.
When you're high off your ass.
When you've eaten so many edibles
that you're scared.
And acid, and you're scared, and you're looking over your shoulder.
You're gripping the armrests so hard that they're biting into the skin on your fingers.
No, but yeah, I think this is like a very of its time movie. And I think the current like digital clean as possible presentation that most old movies are given nowadays doesn't quite match the energy of this movie or the energy that would be needed to enjoy this movie to its fullest. That being said, like, I also see myself, like, would I have liked this better, like, watching it, like, completely, like, by myself, you know, at, like, midnight? Like, would I have enjoyed it better that way than, you know, laughing at it with a friend? I really don't know. But
we didn't make fun of it too much.
I mean, as much as we always do. But, like, I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. I do think it would have been, you know, seeing it one time, October morning in 1965 at a double feature would have been perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but as it stands, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. Just because I don't think I'm ever going to rewatch this, honestly.
Yeah, I get that.
It didn't leave a huge impact on me. I really only, like, really liked one of the three stories, and it was, like, the shortest of all of them, and I don't know. It's, yeah. I mean, it's cool that some people got some stuff out of this.
Yeah.
Wes Craven. Yeah. I don't know if
Tarantino.
He wrote Scream.
I think he did. No.
But, yeah, it's funny that Tarantino would get Pulp Fiction out of this.
Yeah, you'd think maybe like Shortcuts or something, or like a, you know, like any other, like, strange that he would like go like some weird giallo.
Yeah, but maybe it was like, you know, just the spirit of this.
Maybe I do see it though. You know, it's like I can see where Tarantino's sensibilities would sort of link up with this and be like, oh, this is how I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
My movie.
All right. That concludes Black Sabbath. Let me play Black Sabbath while I'm pulling up the next. I'll play Black Sabbath for real. Next episode, we'll be watching The Phantom Carriage.